Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 313, part 1, Anger. Today is Friday, October 11th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Tonight's tape is entitled Anger. Psalm 37 and 8 says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Anger. And tonight we'll look at the elder brother in the prodigal son parable. And it says in Luke 15, 28, he was angry and would not go in. And we'll see where anger leads to wrath, and I believe anger anywhere is madness. When you're angry, you really don't make a lot of sense. And you hear a couple of people arguing back and forth, you'll say, how childish. And that leads to wrath, and it's madness. It's a spirit, the Bible says, forsake it. Now, if you have seen and studied any of Sir Noel Patton's work, the artist, you'll have seen this. In every beautiful painting that he ever painted, of birds or ladies or men or children, garden scenes, he will always, for a contrast, paint an uncouth form at the bottom of the picture. It's his little calling card. It'll either be a toad, or a snake, or a lizard, or a slimy snail. And this makes, by contrast, the beauty in the picture even more beautiful. And if you'll notice on the ancient cathedrals, you'll see griffins and dragons and demons, and demon forms up on their scrolls and their Corinthian rolls and all of the artwork on the outlying parts of the building, right next to the angels. And so we have that contrast. And this was to heighten, don't you see, the surrounding beauty by their deformity. Well, praise God for people like me, it'd make you look pretty good. But anyway, the New Testament has many such contrasts and opposites. 12 disciples, one was the devil. Jesus on the cross, next to thieves. The younger prodigal brother and the elder, the contrast. And don't you know, sin is the very same way. It divides itself into two kinds. Sins of the body, and then there are sins of disposition. And we don't like to hear about that. Or putting it more narrowly, sins of the passions, including all forms of lust, all forms of selfishness, and sins of temper. The prodigal had sins of passion, booze and sex and the party spirit, and all of the fleshy appetites. But then the elder brother had sins of temper, anger. And at first glance, we judge the younger brother. He shamed his home. He was inconsiderate. He was immature. And I think being put side by side, most would choose elder feller. Hardworking, clean shaven, probably orderly life. Obedient by sacrifice. Dependable, always planning, thinking ahead. No complaining, sympathetic, understanding, reliable. A good churchgoer, love the Father, he's almost too good to be true, elder fellow. While the younger brother, on the other hand, was loose-mouthed, lazy at times, rebellious, unruly, unreliable, totally, unworthy, frustrated, sarcastic, and always sort of needling the elder brother. Hey, manure boots or something like that. Always getting to him. Did you do everything you was told to? Did you pick up everything? Did you take care of all the weeds? Did you slop all the hogs? And he was always needling him. Did you milk the goat? Did you read your scriptures? Well, Daddy will be pleased with you. And so the younger brother was always needling, don't you see, the elder brother. And the elder brother looked so good. Now, on the other hand, the younger brother looked so very, very bad. And this runaway looks like one whose character is all wrong. But maybe then again our estimate is wrong. And so many times we judge by first sight and what we see the very first time. Or what we hear the very first time. We make a judgment on that, on hearsay. Oh, that's easy to do, isn't it? But just possibly, I'm saying just possibly, the elder brother is worse. Well, I think we judge sins most times like we judge most things by outward appearances. We arrange sins, in other words, according to our society and what society will take, what's acceptable at the time, while in Rome attitudes. Do as the Romans I'm talking about. And the gross sins are put at the very bottom of the pitcher, like the toads and the lizards. At society's foot. And then, of course, the less gross sins in the middle. And then, by selection, paint them higher and higher until they're hidden up in the clouds, don't you see? And so here they hide, unnamed, unheeded, unshunned. When a person called me on the radio, from the radio, and says, well, how do you measure sins? How much does adultery weigh, and how much does murder weigh, and how much does stealing weigh, and how much does gossip weigh, and how much does hate weigh, and how much does unforgiveness weigh, and how much does anger weigh? And then he went on and said, are some heavier weights of sin? And can you answer that question? Well, I said, I'm talking here about the elder brother, and that's where I got my message for tonight. And here's how society would weigh the elder brother, starting at the beginning of the story and walking through it. You'd probably say, just look at him. Isn't he a great guy? A little temper problem, probably. So what? Well, little or not, Jesus Christ recorded it. Well, they probably would go on, just look at his work record. Hard working, patient, dutiful. Comes home from the field totally worn out after a hard day's work. I mean, is there any choosing to do here? And after all, isn't he earning a good, honest living? Isn't he a responsible person? But you see, man's sense of responsibility for his character ends too often with a day's work. By the time he gets home, he's a totally different person. Temptation always, it seems, comes and exposes us when we least expect. Have you been exposed lately? Maybe you blew up and got angry and you blew your cover. Or maybe even yourself. You found yourself in a fit of anger and stewing and sort of ruining everything all around you. And you kind of got unglued and you kind of revealed yourself. And so you see, the real person comes out under pressure. Under self, oh, and there's so much of that. Under self-righteousness. And so tonight he comes home from the field. And on the way he's thinking, someday all this will be mine. God knows I've earned it. He's thinking this on his way home from the field. And then I'll run it right. You know, Dad is getting old and I'll make changes. I'll get into modern farming. I'll hire day labor. I'll force people to sell and all the land all around. I know what I do. I'll be the banker and the broker and the insurance man all rolled up into one. I'll control everything. Well, now we're seeing another side of Elder Felder. But all of a sudden, the Bible says he hears music and loud talking and people laughing. And chariots are parked all over, up and down the yard. And the yard's a mess. And the elder brother thinks to himself, well, has my father flipped out? What's going on? And then a servant goes by and says, praise God, praise God. You know, sometimes the so-called self-righteous people, when someone is praising God and they aren't in the mood, it makes them angry. See, that means to me that they've set themselves up as some kind of a god. Anyway, he probably said something like this. What's the idea of praising God when it's time for supper? What's going on? And the servant, the Bible says, answers and says, praise God, your brothers come home. They've killed the fatted calf. And the elder feller says, brother, my brother. He's totally forgotten he even had one. Yes, your brother, the prodigal, is home. Praise God. Know how long all of us servants have prayed for this. And the guy's getting green with jealousy. And we're having a roof party here. But there was no joy on Elder Feller's face. He got tight jaws. He got white knuckles. And he got Jerry Colonna eyes. I mean, they were bugging right out of his head. Brother, he thinks. Kill the fatted calf, did they, he thinks. Me go inside? And the Bible goes on. Me go inside? No, never. Who farmed all these years? And he's thinking all this, and he's stewing about all this. Who got up at five in the morning all these years? Who plowed? Who sowed? Who brought in the harvest? And the servant says, excuse me, in the middle of all these mind trips he's going through. excuse me, elder, but I got to bring in these goodies. Would you mind getting out of the way here a little bit? I got some goodies here from the Cub Food Market and from the country store and from Frank's Bakery and all around. And God is just blessing our house here with food from all over. Far away as from Texas, we're getting food. And, oh, it's all coming in. Now, I hope you get the picture on that one. By now, Elder was smoking mad, and that's the way it is, even today. Well, he's thinking this party should be for me. After all, where's my reward? What do I get out of this? Here I stand, unheard of for years, unhonored, ignored, forgotten. And then this young punk comes in from the swine troughs assemblies, like the whole of the north side, and they do him homage. And it says he was very angry, and he would not go in. Oh, I hear someone say on the radio, what a spoiled sport. What a sour puss, someone says. What a big baby, you say. But see, it's more than this. There has been a storm deep inside him brewing all of these years. Under all these outward virtues of yes, Dad, no, Dad, you're always right, Dad. Something's stewing down in there. There's something festering down there. There's an evil down inside there. And hidden under all these virtues of a selfless life, hidden under all those virtues of loyalty, seemingly, progressive attitudes, seemingly, love of family, seemingly, the very subtle fluids from a dozen sins come together all at once. And so we get a chain reaction, and we get that ill temper. He was angry, and he would not go in. Jealousy comes in, bitterness comes in, anger comes in, hate comes in, pride comes in, unlove comes in, cruelty comes in, self-righteousness comes in, sulkiness comes in, touchiness comes in, doggedness comes in, and rebellion comes in. And they all get together, and he starts to stew, and he's a wild man. And yet, see, these are the ingredients of ill temper, of anger. Now, I've prayed for people all the time. Pray for this. I got something wrong. I got my elbow hurts. My knees hurt. Now, these can be real things, but a lot of times, it comes out of this anger. It comes out of sleeping on their anger. And they get frustrated and bitter and hateful, and they get sulky and touchy and doggy. They get prideful and they have much unlove and they hurt everything they come in contact with. They get cruel. And yet men laugh over it and say, oh, you hothead, just a blast from the old temper. But oh, I thought, what a display that comes from that. From only a little temper, all these things can happen. That only temper I'm talking about unleashes the real person. Murderous, hateful, jealous, bitter, prideful, unloving, the Bible says, cruel, self-righteous, sulky, touchy, dogged, and rebellious. And this is why temper, by the way, and listen carefully, you on the radio, is very significant. See, it is not what it is that its significance lies in, but in what it reveals. Being angry can happen, but what that anger reveals, that's the significant thing I'm going to talk about tonight. What does it bring up? What does it unleash? What is the truth that it will really reveal? The real vermin. If this weren't true, we would and could overlook it and laugh it off or say, oh, cool off, you old hothead. See, it's the intermittent fever which tells of an intermittent disease. That fever you have tells there's some intermittent disease on the inside, festering up. It's the occasional, in other words, hot bubble that's escaping to the surface. The world calls it temporary insanity. I talked to a lady on the phone today that was in a mental ward. I don't know where she called from, because now you can dial and they don't say long distance or anything like that. And I wish I could have had more time with her, but time would not allow. She came out of exactly what I'm speaking about here tonight. Probably started out with some kind of an anger there. And so it's called temporary insanity, that killer look, that dark cloud hanging over one's head, that walking on the back of the heels. That high head, that knuckled up look, that stiff kneed, stiff necked. And yet, we excuse it a lot of times and say, oh, just having one of their days. Well, how about the other people that day affects? Those spiteful questions that are filled with poison. You ever been around a person that's spiteful and they'll come up with different kinds of questions and they're just so full of poison? These things show the rottenness on the underside that a hasty prepared specimen, I think, of hidden products of the soul. Dropped involuntary when you're off guard. You say the wrong thing at the wrong time. This is the quick lightning form of a dozen hideous sins brought out on the cook stove of life called temper. Anyway, here's a startling fact about it, the sins of temper. They are strangely compatible with high moral character. Here is a person that has high moral character. And strange as it may seem, that person that has that high moral character, another thing is very compatible, and I've noticed this over the years. Strangely enough, temper is there hidden someplace. That elder brother had high moral principle. He might even have belonged to the moral majority. Could be. Would you imagine that? Yeah, take a look at it. Look at all of the elder fellers that are walking around, and they have high morals, so they say, characters, and a lot of times they are meaner than hell itself. When brought to some kind of an anger. And so years ago, the Bible says that the father had divided the fortune. And see, he had a chance to sow his wild oats, if he would have liked to. And as the elder brother, don't you know, he would have had the larger portion anyway. And he was young and he could enjoy it then. He could leave the monotony village. But like the dutiful son, he chose the career of just staying there with dad. And he thought, I'll stay here with the old crowd, Dad and Uncle Fred and the shuffleboard gang and the quilting bee circle and the checkerboard crowd. And when I was young group, people talking about when they were young and when they come from the old country. And stick around with the people of what's the world coming to people and all that kind of gang. And yes, he would stay with Dad in his old age. Doesn't he sound like a peach? I'll be his right hand. I'll comfort him in his old age. And also wait for him to die. And so the servant saw him as a duty person. And the neighbor said, my elder is a fine person, sticking with his dad. And all the shop owners probably said, elder's got a fine business head. He's a sound thinker. And all the community probably said, what a contrast between elder and prodigal. Mr. Moral, Mr. Morality, Mr. Levelhead, Mr. Do-Good, Mr. Do-Everything-Right. And then elder would just sort of give a humble look. You ever seen somebody when they're building their own case and they'll give a real humble look and they look at their shoes and they, golly, I'm so embarrassed about you guys giving me all these compliments on how I just stuck around here and just sacrificed and did everything right. And you know, I mean, golly, stop talking to me. You're embarrassing me. Golly, wow, gee. And he'd probably say something like this. Hey, it was my choice to stay on the farm. Who's suffering after all? I love it. I got Dad and all of you 80-year-old youngsters. It's great. Who needs the bright lights with all the action? I mean, there's checkers on Monday nights. We all enjoy that. And hey, the playoffs are coming up, you know. And then there's shuffleboard, and I only hope I can keep up with old Charlie here, Uncle Charlie. And then we have violin and piano by Marianne, the librarian, and Horace Sheepherder every Wednesday. I mean, hey, I'm content. What more could a fellow want? And isn't that like a lot of moral churchgoers? They're just trying to act like they so enjoy themselves and they are about the most miserable frumps that ever were. Say amen, somebody. By now, all the people's eyes were tearing up. And people were probably saying, gee, elder, you're such a great son. We're thankful to have you. And then the whole group probably broke into clapping. Now, are you starting to get some doubts about elder? I am. Yes, there are suggestions here that stink. Is this real virtue? And how do you measure the virtue of a person who is the model of all virtues? The epitome of goodness. Well, I'll tell you what. Everything depends on the motive. Why? The virtues may be real or only apparent. And even as the vices may be real, though not apparent, for instance, some people are kept from going off because of cowardice. They'd never do anything wrong because they're cowards. They do not have enough character enough to lose their character. No, I'm judging like God judges here. This is exactly what I'm talking about. They are such cowards, they're afraid to do anything wrong, but it's in their heart. And then secretly they admire and yet hate the person that does those things. And see, more often it requires a strong character to go wrong. Going wrong a lot of times isn't for weaklings. Say amen. Now, I know what I'm talking about here. It's in the heart, but it's not in the feet. Well, in that you had it in your heart, you're stuck with it. See, it demands a certain originality and courage, a putting away of pride of which not all are capable. You see, before a man can fall out of step and scatter his reputation to the winds. Oh, I tell you, there are a lot of gutless folks. They don't do anything bad, and they don't do anything good either. They don't do anything. They're locked in on the mundane things of life, and they're so busy checking out somebody doing wrong, wishing to do it themselves, having it in their hearts to do it themselves, putting the person down, and there's more life in that sinner than there is that person over there that's moral, so-called. That's why the Bible says, judge not. Well, I mean, you have to check out your own heart. And the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Anyway, and so it is that many mean, hostile men retain their outward virtue. They retain it, and they have this, they look so virtuous, and they can preach, and we can carry on, and we can look just like we're the great, virtuous persons, and so on like that. And something comes along, and we can blow our cool in a minute. Preachers, people listening on the radio, just be yourself. Sooner or later, you will get found out anyway. And so among the prodigal sons of the world are often found characters of beauty. Now, a lot of times, you'll see more beauty in people that are not saved. Runaways. God has already elected to save them, and so they're prodigal sons, and they've run away, and you'll see more beauty in those people. Not always, but a lot of times, I said. The prodigal, no doubt, would be more fun to talk to for an hour.
There you have it. That was episode 313. That was part one to anger. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a beautiful weekend. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor. You may be blind or lame. Maybe living in another country under another name. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns. And you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop. You may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress. Maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might
Might like to wear silk. Might like to drink whiskey. Might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar. You might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor. Sleeping in a king size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Now you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.